On this episode of Still Loading, we're traveling on Star Road. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome back to this new episode of Still Loading. For this final episode in the month of Mario, or July, whatever the hell, I don't even care anymore. I have a bunch of guests here. Everyone, say hello. So we have Casey.
Hello.
John.
Hello.
Lucas.
Hey.
And Tim.
Hello.
So this is the first time I've ever had a group of five people, or four people, five including me, on the show. My voice is also kind of given out for those who follow me on Instagram. I was on a missions trip last week, so it's a little hard. I got sick right afterwards, and my voice is still coming back. So if you hear me coughing, I'll try to edit it out, but no promises. In any case, this week we are covering Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo. The classic, probably one of the most, reviled. No,
revered.
So, I guess to start off this whole thing, Lucas, you just tried it for the first time,
yeah.
Surprisingly enough. So my first question is, what sad childhood happened to you?
What were you playing?
A lot of tears, you know, a lot of regret, but Game Boy Color, that kind of stuff.
Well, I wouldn't say that's right. That's a pretty damn good childhood.
Yeah. Fair, yeah.
You weren't locked in a basement or like some closet or anything.
No, yeah, it was a closet. Under the cupboard, you know?
But you had a Game Boy Color.
You're yeah. Lucas Potter?
It's backlit. No, it wasn't backlit.
It wasn't backlit.
No. It's a Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Light.
Yeah.
Oh,
if you're going to Japan.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about this. So, let's go around Robin real quick. Like I said before, Luke, your first time playing it, what was your impression of it, though?
Overall, it seems like a very good game. I feel like I would completely enjoy playing it. It feels like it could definitely be a pain in later levels to beat, but I played, the first two, three worlds, so who knows?
All right. What about the controls? Did it feel tight?
Yeah, controls felt tight, very, very responsive, definitely will do what you want it to do.
That's usually a good function for a game.
Yeah. Listens to you.
Yeah.
A good game listens to you like your significant. I wasn't expecting that. I was thinking like significant other.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah. They
like
never
that.
Listen to me. They don't. I'm ignored.
Well, you gotta have one first.
Ooh,
man.
Deeper.
Right in the feelings.
Ooh, that's
man.
A fireball. Fireball Mario suit. Fireflower.
All right. So let's break it down. So first off. Let's talk about the gameplay itself. So what Super Mario World did differently than all other previous Mario games to this point was that it added some different power. I mean, I guess it didn't really do differently, but I would say it changed some of the power-ups. Like in Mario 3, you still have the big mushroom from Mario 3. You don't have the Tanuki suit anymore, I believe, correct?
No, not in this one.
But it does replace that suit with the cape, which is, holy shit. Like, that is, like, one of the best power-ups in video game history. It's known as the best power-up in video game history.
It's so iconic, too.
Well, and what's cool about it is that it's one of those power-ups where, like, it's difficult to use, it's easy to use, but it's difficult to master. Mm. If you can master it, you can literally fly through an entire level.
You can cheese the whole level.
Yeah.
Except side-scrollers. Fuck those levels. Auto scrollers.
Oh, they're
all side scrollers.
Yeah, I was like, the fourth.
Yeah, yeah. There are a few levels. That one and the second level in the special world, Gnarly. Or no, I'm sorry, Tubular. That's
is
the
tubular
line.
Tubular the one with all of the pee balloons?
Yep, that's you can't fly through that level.
Oh, that's
it's
brutal.
Yeah, you definitely need to be very, very careful with that. And
I never got that far as a kid. I never got past Donut Plains when I was five when I first played it. I was like, yeah, this is a good game, but I don't know what I'm doing. Because I'm five.
This is like, I apologize for like the worst joke ever, but Donut Plains always made me hungry.
It looked good. It looked like chocolate.
It looks like donuts. That's a dad joke.
Chocolate
but, like,
Island? Yeah.
Yeah, Chocolate Island.
But starfish and hot dog. The game was cool because it gave you different power ups, and those power ups were all relatively unique, with the exception of the fire flower and the big mushroom thing, the regular mushroom. Because those were all repeats from the original Super Mario Brothers and pretty much everything since. And so while it did still have those, the cape really made up for it. What other power ups were there? Was there something? Sorry, what were you going to say,
John? I was going to say, overall, I think that's kind of it. Because I think, in terms of variety, it had less than Mario 3. Because, like, you didn't have the Hammer Bros suit, you didn't have, the Tanuki suit, or the just Raccoon Leaf.
Or the Frog suit.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, there's a lot less power-ups in this, now that I think about it.
But I think they were really banking on Yoshi with this.
That's the
ultimate power. You sacrifice him and really get those extra.
And all the shells, once he gets points. Them, the different colors do different things for you.
One of my favorite things that you'll see all the time in, like ROM hacks of Mario World, is that they'll make levels where you have to sacrifice, 60 Yoshis to beat it. Or, there's a jump you can only make by launching off a Yoshi as it falls to its death, and then you hit the block and there's another Yoshi waiting for you, and then you have to do it all over again.
You forget your entire previous relationship with that Yoshi and say, I moved on. I have another Yoshi.
Yeah, but your brother.
Yeah. It's me. It's a Yoshi.
It was just preparing you for Mario World 2.
Kind of one of the main things is, Yoshi in this game, and I know the NES, Yoshi was supposed to be meant for the NES, but the NES didn't have the capabilities in order to, have Yoshi in the game. It wasn't able to run Mario on top of Yoshi and ride them together, which is actually, it's kind of fascinating too, because I think in the mid-90s, 95, 96, there was a homebrew Super Mario World game for the NES, but it was made for the computer. I thought it was pretty fascinating regardless.
Well, interestingly enough, did you know that in thinking of just Mario and the computer, the id Software, the guys who made Doom, their first foray into game development, they actually made a copy of Super Mario Brothers 3 they ported it to the PC and showed it to Nintendo, and Nintendo's like, don't ever do this again.
the problem with side-scrollers up to that point was it was a blocky progression. You would walk to the edge of the screen and it would produce maybe a third of the screen. It wasn't a smooth side scroller like you see in Super Mario.
It was very choppy.
It was similar to Zelda with the screen.
And PC games before that didn't do that, so I think they made it into Commander Keen.
Played that series.
Yeah, that was id Software. They had a whole bunch of other games, but Commander Keen was before Wolfenstein 3D, and that's where they tried to perfect that. I don't know.
Oh yeah, and then their failed Mario port, because Nintendo shut him down, became Commander Keen.
Exactly. Say, what can we put in there? We'll make some little kid on a pogo stick with some power ups, and eventually they sold enough copies where they could finance Wolfenstein 3D.
And
that's where they made the big bucks.
Wolfenstein 3D is an interesting story too, but
that's
to Mario.
Yeah, that's separate.
Well, real quick, because I'll cover that at some point. For those who don't know, Wolfenstein 3D was not the first Wolfenstein game. Mm-hmm. There was originally some old PC games from the early 80s, and they were stealth games.
It was the Noah's Ark. It was the Noah's Ark game.
That was on the same engine, but that was different.
All right, so yeah, all the different power-ups were pretty amazing. Yoshi was an awesome, addition. Though it is kind of weird that you're punching him in the head to make his tongue go out.
And they confirmed that recently.
Yeah, very recently, too.
I'm amazed PETA has not,
the stirrups, You're stabbing them with the side to make them go faster.
Or whipping them with
Maybe
they're into that, man.
Don't
Yoshi likes getting... That's some weird BDSM shit for Yoshi.
Hey,
he's punching him in the back of the head. I love concussions. This is great.
You know his name, not his story.
Been there, seen that,
But all right, so I mean, there's pretty much, as in every Mario game, like we said, the controls are tight. They're fine.
They're smooth.
They're good. They're really good controls, and they lend themselves really well to the gameplay. The gameplay that they have. Oh my god, I can't speak. and what I thought was cool about a lot of the gameplay with this is how many ways they iterated the same mechanics and made it different as the game goes along. So as you start out, you know, you learn your basics, running, jumping, that kind of stuff, and you get different things. But as the game goes on, you have, they give the, instead of like Mario 3 where it makes you kind of use the power-ups heavy, it's more exploration heavy in this game. Like, there's a lot of levels that are mazes, especially when you get to the woods.
It's more vertical, too. They they use a lot of, verticality. Big words here.
Fancy word.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, like, and that's even, like, some of the levels are designed that way. Like, the first couple levels of Donut Plains, as we just played, like, some, there are some mountains in there, and, like, you can ascend the mountains, go up. But then there are even levels that, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but they won't even have, like,
the first
mountains.
Boo's house.
Yeah,
you. It's a very vertical level. It's a very vertical level.
And but sometimes it's not even incorporated in the level design. It's like if you have a cape, you can go higher, and there's stuff up there because you managed to bring the power up that far. Like
the other thing is too is that some of these levels utilize you can utilize the spin jump, which is introduced in this game. And that can be very useful. Like, you know, with the blargs coming up, you can spin jump on them, you won't get hurt. The chainsaws, if you spin jump on them, you won't get hurt.
It's interesting. It's really, like, cool. So it's almost like they traded out power-ups for moves. Like,
Pretty much.
No longer just have run and jump. You have run, jump, spin, attack. I mean, you still always had crouch, but, I mean, it's only one new move, but still, like, that's it. It, by changing that one tiny move, that's a different move set for Mario to kind of play with.
Spin jump off of Yoshi, and that's a whole different. Explore that level way differently.
And then there's also the levels with the pee balloons where you have to, like, Mario gets blown up and he floats up into the air, and you have to. That would always weirded me out as a kid. I'm like, are they, like, pee?
Yeah. What's there?
What's he into? That's a weird golden shower. Yeah. But no, I didn't know what a golden shower was as a kid, thank God. At least not that I want to admit I did. Well, what? But no, all right.
The internet.
Oh my God, dude. Like, the freaking. I didn't get, like, broadband until, like, the early
2000s. Oh, same. Yeah.
Yeah, same.
That's a different episode, but I got a whole lot to say about that. When I first got Comcast in 2001, multiplayer opened up to me. And I said, online multiplayer.
The Comcast high-speed internet browser. Yeah. The browser.
Whoa!
I used to, the whole reason, I'm a little ashamed to admit this, the whole reason I wanted broadband is so I could play RuneScape.
RuneScape. I didn't even know about RuneScape back then. I wanted to play Command and Conquer. It was the FPS.
Renegade, right?
Renegade online, and I did play it online, and I got beat real bad because people were really good. And I never played. I hate online now.
That's
why I wanted the internet, so I could play other people around.
Multiplayer
the world.
Isn't always fun, but in Mario, bringing it back.
But in Mario two player, Luigi flawless. And Mario.
I actually like Mario 3's co-op a lot more than Super. Actually, it's about the same.
With World?
Yeah. I don't know why, but Mario 3's co-op just felt more satisfying. Mario World co-op, I don't know.
I only like this one because after you die, like, let's just say you lose all of your lives, you can either trade off lives. Like, if you have 10 lives and I lost mine, like, you can give me, like, all of your lives except for one, or maybe one or two, like, you can revive me that way.
Super Smash,
it's pretty cool. Or after we both die, the level, I think from my understanding, is still saved. Like, you know how when we were playing level 8, we had to start all the way back to
the beginning of World
8? Yeah, except the castle was completed.
Well, in Mario 3, if there's different checkpoints in World 8 where you can, like, so even if you lose all your lives, like, the only thing that really, like, every time you beat one of those airships, it's done for good.
That,
no matter
which is great,
if you lose all your lives.
There's three blocks that you had to, it's a chance whether or not you're going to.
But those worlds really aren't that tough, thankfully.
They're just inconvenient.
But what Mario 3 did and the transitioned over to Mario World as well were the secrets. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about it, like, because there's so many secrets in this game. There's, like, so many different things that you can explore and find. The first thing that comes to mind is, like, the game even forces you to do this in some way in the first Boo's house. The only way you can actually beat that level is by finding the secret entrance, the secret ending, sort of. Or the ending itself, in and of itself, is secret, because you could go through the same doorway and you're going to end back up in the same room over and over and over again until you hit that P switch jump up, and then like it's a really weird loop that I don't know how the fuck kids are supposed to figure out.
I never did. I never even went there again. I said, nope, that's a ripoff.
It's the Bloodborne. It's the Dark Souls of Mario games.
It's like going to a friend's house and he takes your Pokemon cards. I'm not going back to that house. Awful house.
Oh my god. And what was cool, though, is that each of the besides just having secrets within levels, you know, different items, that kind of thing, you would be able to tell if there's a secret exit to that level based on the map. So, like Mario 3, Mario World has a map, and usually it's a yellow dot on it once you beat it. But if there's a red flashing dot on there, then what happens is that that's how you know there's a secret exit in that level. Mm-hmm. And additionally, some of those secret exits would then take you to Switch Palaces. Yeah. And Switch Palaces, there is three different Switch Palaces. The yellow one's the easiest one. It's the first thing in the game, practically. If you go right, you're going to on the map screen. If you go right, you're going to the rest of the game. If you go left, you go to the first Switch Palace. Mm-hmm. And what's nice is that it turns all these different blocks whole, so you can actually stand on them. And the yellow one's least useful because it's the easiest one to get. But the green and red ones, you actually have to get secret exits to find.
Same with the blue.
And they also gave you guaranteed power-ups from them, too. Like, the yellow one is always super much.
Yeah, the green one is always the wing. Yeah. The red and blue, they don't do anything. They're more like platforms.
Yeah, I think
they won't. Right. Yeah, they won't give you anything. But
so they're like the yellow, but they might be higher up? Up platforms that you could jump
more
on?
More secret areas. I think, wasn't it also the pink ones that would have, like, so you could run up at the walls
to
get to certain places.
Yeah, I never got
those. Those are weird. Those are weird levels when you have that.
Oh yeah.
But no. So the game itself, though, I feel like I remember listening to another podcast. Shout out to Retronauts. They don't know who I am, but I love their show. they were talking about how when they first saw the tech demo for Super Mario World, like in like Sears when they actually carried video games, or like a Walmart or whatever. The one guy was like, graphics will never get better than this. It's going to be the best thing ever. They can't possibly be better than this.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, this is a weird transition to get into, but like, I love the graphics of this game. Oh. I actually think out of every 2D Mario game, whether it's 2.5D, like the new Super Mario Brothers stuff, or like old school, I love this art style the most.
It's so crisp.
Followed by Mario 3, close by. But I love Super Mario World's art style so much. It's so colorful. It's very expressive.
Yes.
All the characters feel like they have their full characters.
How could you say something so controversial, yet so brave?
What?
Exactly. Yeah, I know, you're right. Yeah, it does look great. I mean, that's my best memory as a kid, that and Donkey Kong Country, but different art style, but yeah.
Well, same. I mean, those were all pre-rendered graphics that Rare did. I mean, I think I've talked about this before on some of my other episodes, but like Nintendo at that time when Donkey Kong was out was losing the console war to the Genesis.
Yeah.
Genesis had like a above 50% market share on the game and the game.
Sonic
market,
was going right? So fast.
So fast. All that blast processing.
Yeah, all the blast processing. Oh my god.
Genesis,
different episode.
Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
And that's suck.
Oh my god, we're peeking the shit out of this. I'm keeping that in. But I don't care. This is awesome. Alright. Oh, so man. Let's So Nintendo was losing the console war at that time but then Donkey Kong Country came out, 94?
Yeah.
And that year, you had Super Metroid and Donkey Kong Country come out in the same year, and that pretty much just swung the pendulum the other way. Like, because no one thought a Super Nintendo could have graphics like Donkey Kong Country. But
I have a very fond memory of Donkey Kong Country, but that goes into way too much depth.
Yeah.
About being down the shore, and it just, my first time playing it down in AC, Atlantic City, and the palm trees in the game just worked with where I was, and I was like 7. And I was like,
it immersed you. It helped with the immersion.
It was, I don't think I got up.
Oh, you got up all right.
But no, all right, so... Super Mario World, one of the cool things that it did, now, maybe you guys can remember what it is, but the specific instance of it, but every Super Nintendo, early Super Nintendo game experimented with Mode 7. Mm-hmm. The fancy mode that, you know, that could make fake convincing 3D. Mm-hmm. Now, the only thing I think it really did was how maybe the way it, like, expanded and shrunk the sprites, or was it... Yeah, I think
that's... I think it was main... Like, the thing I can think about the most with that is the final boss.
Yeah.
Because he'll fly in from behind the screen, like Bowser and the Koopa Clown.
Oh, the Koopa Clown car,
come in from the front, or fly to the screen from behind.
That visual depth. Yeah. But, you know, it was just scaling the sprite based upon how far away it was, where, you know, they probably just included some kind of random variable, where it's like, yeah, it's... 50 away from the screen. 50 yeah. what? Like, who knows?
The other level that utilized Mode 7 in that game was when you're in the Forest of Illusion and you're on the two platforms and you stand on there and you're basically going into 360.
That must have blown people's minds totally back on about that.
And then you have to keep jumping and avoid the Koopa Troopas, and it's just... It, like, gave me a headache, but it was still fascinating.
And Mode 7 was a big thing, man. I mean, a lot of games utilized it in different ways because they could make that faux 3D look. Now, Mario World utilized it really intelligently because they didn't go all in for, like, a cheesy 3D effect. Like, I love Final Fantasy VI, but the world map is in Mode 7 and it pisses me the fuck off. I want to see the whole map. I don't want to see this weird, like, third-person over-the-shoulder camera version of a world map of this airship.
I wonder what the reviews said about that back in the day.
Oh, they probably
sucked it off.
Yeah. This is so fantastic. This is so brand new.
Well, no. So, Mode 7 was something that was new and great, I guess. Let's talk about some of the individual levels, I guess. Like, what are your guys some of, like, that's kind of, I mean, well, you don't, Lucas, you only really played...
Of the levels you played, what was your favorite?
That one?
Yeah, that one in the beginning.
Yoshi's House.
That one with the thing. That would be my favorite level. Because I would always sit there as a kid and be like, how do I get up there? How do I stuff with this level? They didn't put it in there here for no reason. There's a reason this level's here.
Did they have it so you could go down the chimney if you?
I think there was like you rescued Yoshis or something, and like more Yoshi, different colored Yoshis.
You came in at the very end,
and the Yoshi story was like based off. No, that's a whole different conspiracy theory. That's.
Wow, that would be a good episode, man. Game conspiracy theories.
Yeah, there's a lot you can go with.
You could go with, like, all the creepypastas, start out with those that people, like, Ben Drowned and,
Final Fantasy VIII, or did Squall really die in the beginning?
Yeah.
Or somebody's spaghetti falls out of their fanny pack, and, other 4chan stuff.
But, alright. So,
levels, yeah.
Levels, yes. So, Tim, what was, we started with Lucas already.
Did Lucas give the explanation?
Well, I mean, he only played that one level.
Yeah.
But, so, you played a little bit less than the rest of us in this game. So, what was your favorite level out of the ones that you played?
So, my favorite level, up to the point where my cousin actually owned the game, and he said, hey, look where I am. And it was the Star World. Mm. I said, what is this? Did you cheat? How did you get here? And it was, I think it was the Star Road, and you're running across, like, a bridge or something. It was just, like, kind of a straight run. You're not really doing too much platforming. You're just kind of avoiding things. That was probably my favorite level, because I was like, this is like some kind of secret. This is like taboo. I shouldn't be here. But before that, it was probably like Donut Plains as far as I got as a kid when I was 7 or 8 years old. And it was probably that water level that you were on, where you're kind of dodging the mines. Because I like that, because they incorporated the platforming with the water, but you didn't. It wasn't an underwater level. Because I hated those.
I hate those. Oh, I know exactly the level you're talking about now.
He was. We were just playing. Yeah, just playing it.
Sorry, I was holding it in the car for like 3 minutes.
It's deep. Almost as my memory is of Star Road. It's a deep memory.
Yeah, no, but I got to say that the water one with all the first ones was definitely probably my favorite out of the three.
It's a visually looking. It's really, I don't want to say stunning, but it's pleasant.
Oh yeah, no, it's mighty fine.
Yeah. Well, what were some of the other levels where they included kind of a water level, but you're not completely underwater, but you're still kind of platforming above it? I don't think they ever. It was like right in the beginning.
And there were some others. I think there were like later. think in between world like 3 and 4, they had literal bridge levels that took place on a bridge, and I think that had some of the water in it, like below. I'm trying to remember, but
no, I know what you're talking about though. There's those I always liked because they didn't like underwater levels are shit. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts. They're just not fun.
Soda Lake is the worst one. Oh my god. It's so hard to.
I like the name. It's hard to get to,
and it's
I like
the
sugar.
Torpedoes coming at you. It's
Torpedo Ted. That's right.
But for me, and
Torpedo Ted.
Let's get to the names of the characters.
This is the thing. I will never, no matter how many times I play Mario games, the only ones I know are Goombas and Koopas. Everything else is just a guy. Like I don't know what their names are.
What was the squid?
Torpedo Ted. Oh, Bullet Bill. Sorry.
Yeah.
Bullet Bill.
I don't know.
One thing I really liked about Mario World, when you did beat it, they did like a. Basically a cast of characters thing during the credits where it showed all the names of the enemies.
Yes.
Some of them, I'm just, like, just, even just finding out, oh, the caterpillars are Wigglers. Just like, I mean, yeah, I guess it makes sense, but,
like, well, I always thought it was weird. Flumps, yeah. Did you ever see the glitch, like, where you can beat Super Mario World in, like,
4 minutes?
In, like, four minutes.
Oh, yeah,
or
yeah.
It's funny, so originally that was done on a ROM, and the way you have to be like so meticulous in order to do it. If you screw up, if you go like one pixel over, like you can't do it. You have to reset
the
game.
Like trying to do something.
You're
like
basically
code
you're literally
writing the code.
Yeah.
By playing the game, it's the weirdest. I don't know how the hell any buddy in their right mind.
Somebody
would
was
want
probably
to do this.
They probably did it with a ROM and they saw above. This is how I'm changing the code of the
game.
That's
exactly what happened.
Oh, I have to go left. I have to hit that
and
block.
Someone,
and that changes this number or
someone
value.
Did it on an actual Super Nintendo. They actually did it in a record of 2 minutes. So that's the world record right now. But and then someone
it counts.
This is what made me laugh. Someone actually made a YouTube video of how it's actually done. And they do it visually. And it shows you kind of like the coordinates of what you need to do. And it's doing like all this like hexadecimal shit.
And the
title said like, how to do this glitch in simple terms. And all the comments said, like, I don't understand a word of this at all. And I try to, like, I'm like, am I stupid? Like, I don't get this at all. Like,
no, it's the same thing. It's when I watch, like, I'm fascinated by the technical aspects of video game stuff, glitches or just the consoles themselves. I will read or watch something, and I have to read or watch it, like, 20 times before I can even get some semblance of understanding what the fuck they're talking about.
That was kind of like, well, I'm still reading it, but I Am Error. It's like, oh my god, like, alright, let me
textbook.
Read this again. It really
it's
is.
A goddamn textbook.
Yeah.
There was this guy on YouTube who was programming a new game on the Sega Genesis, and he was doing it in assembly.
That's
assembly language,
much.
Where it's just like, that's like an even more difficult language than if you're trying to do it in like hexadecimal. You're doing like, it doesn't know division. Assembly. You have to do division by doing a combination of addition and subtraction.
That's
and it's
insane.
There's no, division and multiplication are not pre-programmed. You have to program your own multiplication. Division.
Why would?
Well, that's how they programmed Sega games. They would do it in assembly. He had the dev kit. He was doing it on the dev kit.
That's fucking. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I had no. So any developer who programmed for the Genesis actually had no assembly.
If you wanted to get really, if you wanted to like use somebody else's code and say I want it to look like Sonic the Hedgehog, okay, we'll borrow their code to make the physics feel similar. But if you wanted to like make a really custom game on the Sega
from scratch,
you had to know assembly.
That's insane.
So they were probably hiring some really intelligent people from right out of college who knew computer science, but.
Now, is it the same for a Super Nintendo? Like,
oh, I don't know about Super Nintendo.
All right.
They may have had a different dev kit. I don't know about their dev kit. But
that's insane,
the dev kit
though.
For the Sega, I watched the guy, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's so easy to do physics programming. I was like, is it? I couldn't do that. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing.
What you're saying right now reminds me of this program. It's called Lunar Magic, and it's the program that's used to make the Kaizo Mario games and the games like that. It's basically like the really, really expertise software to Mario Maker. Like, Mario Maker is like Fisher Price.
Yeah.
I mean,
put some blocks down.
Exactly.
And
like,
some coins here.
Exactly. It's so simple. But, like, I try messing with Lunar Magic and I'm like, I don't have time to really get in. I have to like
really, Mario Maker for it is.
Yeah, just stick with Mario Maker.
I was going to say for me, and I just kind of went right into it.
For everybody.
But there was this channel that I used to watch. I don't think they do these anymore, but they would play around with Lunar Magic, and it was a channel called 42/11. I don't know what the reference to that is or the significance. That's neither here nor there. Anyway.
Were they too stoned and missed 420?
Maybe. I don't even know. But they're
42/11, bro.
They were pretty funny. So what they would do is there was actually this... Back in the day, and this was probably like in the early 2000s, like you could, I think it was on a ROM, like you could utilize like an unused test level by putting in a certain code. I don't know if you can do it on the actual system. And it was a sign that's, you can look it up on YouTube, but there's a sign that said no Yoshi, and everything's like all glitched out, and it just says test and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So what these guys did, they're like, they basically said like, oh, like actually on a, we were able to utilize this test level on a console, but they basically used Lunar Magic and they made it their own.
Oh,
and
okay.
they're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is the last time I buy this game from Vinny at a pawn shop. Like, what's, you traded Zelda for this? And it's all like glitched out and it said test. I'm like, test? What is this? And then, like, the further they go, it says, Isles? Testicles? What's going on here? It was really funny.
Like,
Nestable,
yeah, that emulator back then.
Test Isles? Like, what?
All right.
Where's the flute?
All right, so we kind of talked about the graphics a little bit. I mean, not much to say except they look nice. Like, I don't know. I'm bad at describing graphics. It's like...
It's smooth. It's like cartoony, but not...
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, like, it takes it from the 8-bit, really pixelated, like... the NES graphics from the first three games, and it kind of gives off more of a Mario 2 vibe, like Mario USA, where, like, you know, you can see, like, the whites of the eyes with the characters, they have more expressive faces. Mario, when he dies, like, panics, like, little Mario. Yeah, it's just, yeah, they have a lot more personality to them, and there's just more detail that helps to bring out, you know, more of how the characters look. You
know what I just realized? We never finished going around saying what everyone's favorite levels are.
Well, you're next.
All right. I guess for me, my favorite level would have to be... It's actually... I want to say it's the first castle. Where there's all those moats and they have the wire fences and you can punch the Koopas off from the other side.
Yeah.
And how, like, if you get to different grates, you can punch the grate and it'll flip you to the other side of the mesh fence. That, to this day, I don't know, I just love that. I really, really like that. I think it's like a, it was a weird descriptive term, but a quaint idea that they did. It's cute. I don't know. I like it.
Indubitably.
Yeah.
Something they didn't have to do, but they threw it in just because it was fun. Sure. That's cool.
And I'm convinced there's a certain spot in that level where you can get a P block, and your P button, I'm sorry. And there's, if you go far enough to the right, past all the mesh fences, above one of the sections of mesh, there's like a line of like four coins. And there is, it, there's something up there, and I'm pretty sure you're supposed to hit the P block, or hit the P button, and because you can't carry it with you, because you have to, there's like a gap that you have to traverse the mesh fence with, because you can't jump it, so it's not like you could carry the P block with you. Though I know some really good Mario runners can, like, throw the P-block up in the air and, like, keep it moving as they're going along. Catch it in the air. Like, they will fall off for a split second to catch it, throw it again, and land back on, and then keep moving. But I don't think it really works in going sideways. I think you have to do it going up. It's something weird. In any case, you have to jump across, and then those coins will turn into blocks. And so and you have to climb up and get above them. But I can never do it. I don't know how to get up there. So I'm, to this day, I think there's a secret up there.
Put a bounty out there.
But I don't, yeah. Someone send me a goddamn video and show me this shit. I don't want to Google it. I want someone to do it.
They'd steal my information. They'd steal my name.
They know what I watch and what I don't want other people to know I watch.
Yeah, exactly. My browser history. I don't want that.
But no, so I think that's my favorite level. I really like that first castle. What about you, Casey?
I can't really think of the top of my head, but what I can say is two levels that I really enjoy is the second castle, Morton's Castle, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember any of the names of the
It's one with the little twimps. They're called the twimps. Yeah. And then when you go through the door, you will get to you have to jump all the way up to get to the castle door, but it has, like, these moving blocks that might crush you.
Okay.
So you have to kind of, like, time it to jump on each platform to work your way up. I like that level. And the other level I really like is actually in the Star Road with all the, I call them crackers. And you have to spin jump
racist.
To break. Blocks, yeah, you know, the ones that break when you spin jump
the
on.
Ones that
okay.
Wait. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
the spinny things.
Yeah, this, yeah. So,
yeah, okay,
yeah, I call them crackers. They look like crackers. Yeah. Saltines.
That's delish.
Yeah, so when you break the saltines, and that's when you get the key. I mean, every level in Star World, you need a key in order to progress. Mm. But my favorite world is the special world. It's the most challenging in the game, in my opinion. But when I was a young lad, my brother and I played a
what
lot.
Are you from fucking the 50s?
Yeah.
When you used to have a mall.
Well, my brother and I would play it, you know, when we were over at my pop-up's house, we'd be like, oh, let's go to the balloon level. And we say balloon level because when it says special, it's actually the Super Famicom colors. But to us, they look like balloons.
Oh.
So we were like, oh, let's go to the balloon level. Yeah.
Wait, so your grandfather beat those? Like, got through those levels?
Yeah. Yeah. Like
wow.
I said, those four. I mean, you know, the four games that he
yeah,
had.
Yeah, I didn't know he was that good at those games.
Yeah,
well, that's the Sim City. That's a different episode again.
Yeah,
but
he killed at those games.
Yeah, yeah. And Super Nintendo. Wow.
See, I never had any relatives that really played like older relatives, I should say, that played video games. I played with my dad, and we played the Medal of Honor games a lot.
Oh, nice.
But we never really none like my grandparents are so. They're the definition of WASPs, like white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. They are so like stuck in their ways, and I love them to death. I don't mean anything like negative about that, but like they just—it's not on their radar. They just not something they were
yeah.
ever interested in, and it just wasn't their thing. My parents, oh, and I mean for those how many for those who haven't listened, I'll do this very quick for everyone who has listened to this. My first console was the N64. So even then, like, all this stuff, it was kind of late to the game. My parents didn't really have an Atari growing up. By that time, they were... My parents are a little bit older. I mean, they would have been... Because Atari came out in, what, the mid-70s?
Yeah.
So they would have been teenagers when that came out. So they probably would have been... It would have been just a little bit past their age
group. My parents were older. My dad had an Atari when he was in California, and he might have been... He was 25.
Okay.
So they would pick, my mom's like, yeah, we'd play Pong and like look at the waves on the you know on the shore. It's like Pong. Wow.
That sounds like a stoner. Let's play Pong and
yeah,
look at the waves on the
like
shore.
That. Yeah,
the waves
yeah.
on the shore. Well, look at those waves, man. It's
well,
like bleeding
bruh,
into
this
the
reminds
game.
Me of Pong. Let's play Pong again.
I actually had some family members that actually play video games. Like my mom, they had I think they had they either had an Intellivision or an Atari. Ooh. I don't know which one. It may have been an Intellivision.
I want an Intellivision, man.
But, yeah, my mom had an Intellivision growing up, but she would play some video games with us growing up. Like, she would play Donkey Kong Country and Space Invaders for PS1.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good one. It's like a remake. My dad would sometimes play with us, like, if we're playing, like, Toadstool's Tour or something, he'll play.
Yeah,
my Papa was the one that got me into games, you know, as you know from
wow.
the previous episode. We play Mario World together, we play Link to the Past, SimCity.
So the older generation got you into
yeah.
video games.
My aunt and uncle played Super Mario World. My aunt loved Pajama Sam for the PC.
Oh, Pajama
Sam. Yeah, Pajama Sam.
I really want to find physical copies of all those HEB, like, edutainment games,
like
Pajama Sam.
Yeah.
Humongous
Entertainment. But my dad, this will be my last thing.
Not HEB, HE games, I think.
Yeah.
It's
just, yeah.
I think they're on Steam now, by the way.
Probably. Yeah?
Yeah,
I'm going to do
so.
That
putt,
then.
Putt travels through time.
Putt, Freddy Fish.
Yep.
I really want to try
Fox.
This.
Oh, Sly Fox?
Spy Fox.
My
right.
uncle,
yeah.
My uncle would, he play like the Ace Combat games, but yeah, my dad, he didn't really play games, like he'll play like the Mario Golf with us here and there, but very, very rarely, but he tried... He was in. He saw the commercial for L.A. Noire or heard about it. So
yeah, we got it for him.
So we got
bucks.
It from, and he played it. And my dad has zero patience in the world, and like he couldn't get the driving down. He's like, I hate this game. I'm done.
like you don't even. Oh, you have to chase people down sometimes. Okay,
but I'm like, oh, you know, maybe we should start.
Yeah.
It was something
simple.
Easier.
Yeah.
That was really funny. All right, so yeah,
crackers.
Crackers. John.
I'm trying to remember.
Nabisco.
Exact worlds.
Oreos.
from what I remember, because I actually didn't play this that much on Super Nintendo. When I first like got the chance to really play this myself, it was the Game Boy Advance port, Super Mario Bros. Okay. 2 that they had. And so it was still like the same game and everything. They added some sound effects and stuff, but like that's when I really got my teeth in it. And I remember...
Gross.
Yeah. It was... it made it more personal. Oh, okay. Just literally eating it. but I remember Donut Plains 1, the first level of Donut Plains. Basically, the first level where the cape comes in. Mm. Where you're going through, first enemies come in, it's like, oh, Koopa Troopas with capes, that's fun, why is one flashing? Then you jump on them and this new thing pops out.
That's the like, feather pops out.
Yes, yeah. But never seen that before, and then all of a sudden you have a cape, you can do a neat little twirly move, and then you run fast enough, and you're like, well, maybe it's like Mario 3 and I can fly, and I'll just press the button a lot to go higher. And nope, it just does it automatically, and just experimenting with it in that level... opening up the world of Mario just with, like, man, it's flying again. I miss this. This is so good.
Well, and I think what really synced, like, made me love flying is because I used to hate the cape because I couldn't figure out how to control it.
Oh, yeah.
It is so easy to control.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always remember before someone told me you have to, you know, rock it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, all you have to do is just press. So you're usually flying to the right, mm-hmm. generally not to the left. You literally just... So if you're flying to the right, you just gotta hit the left button every now and then, and he'll pop up. That's it. Yeah. You don't have to rock anything. Just
boop. That's what I always thought about rocking, where it's like, oh yeah, you're on the screen visually, you're kind of rocking it. But
I thought they physically meant on the D-pad. Shout out to Gunpei Yokoi, D-pad inventor.
Yeah, great invention.
Sadly, he. Oh, actually, it'll be. It's coming next year. Will be the 20th anniversary of his death.
Jeez. Oh shit.
Yeah, that's. I should have done my gun. I did already did an episode of Gunpei Yokoi. I should have done, waited.
Yeah, he died. Well, no, he died in 97. So
did he die in 97?
Yeah, so this will be 20.
Damn it!
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, did I do my episode last year, though?
I don't remember. You doing one on the. I think you did it on the D pad, which was on. Who. I think you did one on Gunpei.
I did one, but I don't know if I did it on the 20th anniversary of his death or if I did it on the 19th. I don't know. Either way, RIP, great invention. But, no, so I really think, I thought they meant, like, rocking it on the D-pad, you would go back and forth, but I guess I was wrong. I'm a bad gamer. But, all right, so now that we kind of talked about all the levels, we talked about the graphics already, we talked about the gameplay itself, we talked about some of the secrets, I guess the last... I'm sure we'll find more to talk about, but...
I did think of something. I was going to say, there are some differences between each version, the North American, Japanese, and European versions. All the time I had that I can think of, this one is, like, so minor, it's like, who cares? I mean, other than the title screen in Japanese, where it's in katakana, opposed to English, obviously, if you look at the Japanese title screen, behind the letters, there's, like, a shadow... And they kind of took that out in the American one. And I don't know why. It's, like, really not that big of a deal. But in the Japanese one, you can eat...
Peach is naked.
Yes.
No.
That's but it's pixelated.
They all...
Buck-ass naked.
No, I mean, it's the common joke, though, that all, like... America would, like... Japan is, like, almost hyper-sexualized, and America is, like, hyper... violenced-ized, whatever.
Except for they can't show any penises.
They can't, nope. Like, violence, we're totally fine with. Any nudity, it's, like, it's weird. Like, in other countries, you know, nudity isn't sexualized. It's just, you know, you're naked, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But in America, it's immediately sexualized. It's really weird. but no, so, sorry, you were saying...
Oh, yeah, the other thing I can think of, I know there are more... But the other thing I can think of is in the Japanese version, you can actually swallow the dolphins with Yoshi. You can't in the American
one. Oh, yeah.
I guess the ones they ride on, kind of, right?
Yeah.
I guess they're worried about animal rights activists or something. Yeah.
Well, the Japanese, they'll eat anything.
I don't know if you can...
that's racist.
I don't know the differences between the Game Boy Advance port. Because I actually had it when I was a kid. I still do, but I don't know... if the differences still apply there, and I know that there are some glitches that you can perform in the cartridge version for the SNES, but you cannot in this one. They just took it out. But yeah, just something to point about.
The only other thing that I still had that was on my plate was the music. But before we talk about the music, I think that would be a good closing out point. Do you guys have anything else to say about the game at all? Like, not closing thoughts, but just any other topics that you can think of?
I mean, Lucas, you have the most expertise in this.
Yeah, no.
You just played it 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's some good shit.
Yeah.
you all should play it.
Tell us about said shit.
there's this little dude.
No, please don't. I thought you were right. Oh, God.
So I was squatting over the toilet, right? You're right.
I was really worried you were going to keep my joke going and actually describe something.
Well, if you want me to.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah.
You look interested.
My only word to sum it up is childhood.
Yeah, that's a real
Super Nintendo.
And it's for me, it's not only that. I mean, yeah, of course, childhood, but not even just the game. I mean, like I said, spending time with my pop-up. If you heard of Josh's other podcast where I was on it,
the last three episodes.
Yeah, you're right.
Literally, the last three in a row. You did Mario. We did. We knocked all those out in one night.
Yes, and we did. Watching the Super Mario World cartoons because they're not very good, but I like them.
I want to do an episode on just video game cartoons at some point. Yeah,
Donkey Kong really Country.
Oh, oh no,
that cartoon.
Oh, Donkey
was bad.
Oh, and lastly,
Slamma.
And lastly, when I was a kid, whenever the ice cream man would come around in the truck, I would always get the Super Mario Brothers ice cream bar with the bubblegum nose.
Oh, the nose.
I
didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, I have the magnet on my fridge.
Really?
Yeah, I bought from eBay, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Cody's boss, didn't they have, it was a Sonic one, right, that we got?
With the eyes?
Yeah. Like the eyes were completely misplaced, but I didn't care. But
yeah. That's crazy. But all right, so let's talk about the music to wrap it up, and then we'll have closing thoughts. So the music is bless you.
Thank you.
The music is, stop bless that. I'm one to talk. Me, Mr. Coughing. You'll probably hear a couple because we were having a good conversation. But I'm gonna probably have to edit out like 10 minutes worth of shit because I was coughing so freaking much. But all right, so the music is iconic. I mean, there's the Mario World theme is super catchy. Like, you remember it, though, because I was listening to it, all I can think of is Super Mario Land right now, which completely different. But, the music is fantastic. It does exactly what good game music should. It fits. It gets you in the mood for the game. It helps the game. It adds to the level of immersion that you're experiencing within it. The graphics are happy and exciting. They're cartoonish. Everything about it is just great, and the music complements it really well.
It really does. I think something that's really nice about the music is that it, like, really gives more personality to the levels it's in. Like, you know, you have the opening levels, it's all happy, it's like... And then something I just can think of is, like, you know, you go into a cave... And it sounds like echoey.
Yeah,
it's just it has that atmosphere.
I never even thought about it that way. Yeah, you're right. It adds a lot of reverb.
Exactly.
I think the correct word.
Yeah, how did they do that with the Super Nintendo?
Oh, I mean the Super Nintendo had a Sony sound effect chip. So like the actual sound processing unit, whatever it is, in the Super Nintendo was made by Sony. Hence why. They eventually worked with them for the Sony and Nintendo PlayStation, which turned into the PlayStation. There's history. For those who don't know, I know I covered this in a previous episode, or at least talked about it. I'm not going to go into it now, but if you get a chance to, for those who don't know, look up the Sony Nintendo PlayStation, because that is actually the history of how the PlayStation originated.
And a prototype of it was found, like, a couple years ago. Like, someone actually had it in storage.
I don't know who would have. Yeah. That's amazing. I think I actually saw it in person.
Really?
Yeah. It was at a convention I went to. They had it. It was really cool. No, so, the sound chip was made by Sony, and it was better. I'm not saying this to piss off any Sega fans. It is, in terms of actual like specs, it is better than what the Sega Genesis could do.
More channels.
It had better. It used samples. That was the sound effects it would use were samples. The Genesis had FM synthesis, which kind of has like a weird warmer tone to it. Like Genesis, it was, in general, Genesis music wasn't always great, but those who knew how to use it, it was fantastic. I.e. Sonic soundtracks, i.e. Rocket Knight Adventures, i.e. like, the list goes on. I mean, those are only two I can think of off the top of my head. I'm sure there's like a million others that people are screaming like, this was a great soundtrack. I mean, like, but like, my personal favorite's always been the Chemical Plant Zone from Sonic 2. So God, I love that track. But no, but like the Super Nintendo spec level was better. It used samples. It just in general was had better hardware, and so because of that, you could do a lot of interesting things with the sound effects, and it shows with this game. Like you said, I didn't even think about it. It had a reverb effect for the cave levels. And the outdoorsy type of things were a little bit more happy-go-lucky.
And I'm just thinking, like, the ghost houses, you got that, like, eerie fade-in, fade-out with the music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Like,
I love it.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
It's weird, like, there are some levels that I prefer playing at some parts of the day rather than...
Too spoopy.
Yeah.
Spoopy.
Like, whenever I play, like, castles, I much rather prefer to play that at night just because it goes with, like, the atmosphere. A little bit off topic, but with another game, like, if I'm playing the original Metroid and I'm in Norfair, when that music's playing, it reminds me of being at home when it's really cold outside, but the lights are, like, really dimmed and the fireplace is on. It just seems like it would go really well with
That's
it.
That's really good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's like Donkey Kong Country and being down the shore.
Exactly, yeah, it goes to the palm trees, that, like you said. We'll do that.
Bring up palm trees.
But, alright, so that's about all the topics I wanted to cover on the game. Do you guys have any final things you want to say about it? Like, just to wrap everything up. Lucas!
our resident expert.
Yeah, nothing really to say. Obviously, I'm the least qualified, but, you know, felt like a good game from the 20 minutes I played it.
I guess one little point I wanted to cover was just something I didn't think about until recently, but the map as a whole, it was cool having, like, context. Like, in other Mario games, like Mario 3, when you had the overworld map, it'd be like, oh, here's, you know, the desert world and everything. Okay, we're done. Move on to the next one. Oh, but now it's island.
Yeah, you can travel.
But in Mario World, you get to see Mario going to different parts of the island and see how they all connect and how you get from one place to the other and uncovering things on the map, like... Once you finally unlock the Valley of Bowser, which is the final world, Bowser's head rises up from the middle of this lake.
It was all the same map.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Some kind of like screen cut where it's just like, oh, new place. Well, how does this connect to the old place?
Exactly.
Where I just was.
You got to see all that context.
Yeah, it was all the same map.
That's a good point to me. And completely honest, that is one of the... There are certain like world maps, for lack of a better term, that I just want a 3D printed version of it. Like, I would love to have in my game room like a full 3D printed version of the Super Mario World map. It's just it's nice to look at. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just you want to be there. You want to go there.
It's like, no wonder they went there for a vacation. I think that's the story of the game.
I don't know.
It's a Mario game. Sunshine or something.
I was just showing them, since we're at my place right now, I actually have the mouse pad of the overworld map of it. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, the entire map.
Yeah.
All right, so Casey, your final thoughts.
This was the game that got me into video games. You know, my pop-up and I, God rest his soul, we had such great times playing it. I have nothing but fond memories of it. They will always hold a special place in my heart. If you see anything Mario-related in my apartment and all Super Nintendo-related stuff...
For those who don't... Well, we're recording this at Casey's this time. His entire apartment is... He has two Mario shrines of Mario shit everywhere. Literally shit that Mario shat.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But, sorry, go on.
It's in my, what do they call them, curios?
Curio.
Curio
cabinet. A lit cabinet.
Yes.
It looks... It literally is cool. Every time... I see, like, a picture of some weird Mario, like, memorabilia that you got. I'm like, God damn, I kind of want that. Every single time.
I was on Amazon, and there was this, like, Chinese knockoffs. Like, it was from China. Like, it wasn't just, like, they didn't look Chinese. Chinese knockoffs of, like, Mario, like, little figures that were supposed to be ornaments on a Christmas tree. I was like, those are knockoffs. I'm going to get those for Casey. Because he doesn't have those.
Yeah, you're my curio right now.
Yeah.
But, it's one of my all-time favorite games. Definitely holds a special place, and I just I can go on and on, but yeah.
it's one of those things where it's like, it's a game that's been talked about so much and it's so good. And it's like we said in the Mario 3 episode, it's like, what could we say that already has not been said about
exactly.
it? Like, it's, I will say, so I guess for, actually, I'll do my wrap up last. Tim.
Smooth. So smooth. Those that, controls.
That's it? Ooh. That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Smooth? All right. Smooth. Fair enough. For my wrap up with it, I guess, it's the first Mario game I ever beat. And I did not beat a Mario game. I think I've said this before. It's one of my quote-unquote gaming sins, where I didn't beat a Mario game until I was like 26 years old.
Wow.
I'm dead serious. I played a ton. But since then, they've come like I've beaten so many. Like, I just recently beat Super Mario 64. I didn't mm-hmm. post about it, but on my missions trip, I beat New Super Mario Brothers for the DS.
Oh, yeah.
I beat Super Princess Peach also for the DS, which isn't in the main Mario series, but it's a Mario game, sort of. So, I mean, there's a bunch of others that, besides Odyssey, Galaxy, I've beaten that. But this one is what started it all off. Like, I, for a while, more recently, Mario 3, thank God. With warp whistles, I'll do it eventually without them. But this was the game that really kind of, like, cemented for me my love of Mario. Because, like, I always liked Mario, and I always like respected the fact of the importance that it had on the game industry. And like, I guess it's something that we didn't really talk about. Like, Casey, you and I didn't really talk about too much. But like, I do want to do an episode on something similar to this in the future. But the importance of Mario in the game industry, and I don't mean just like everyone knows like he's iconic. Like, even if you remove the like iconic nature of him, which he wouldn't have obviously have done as much if he wasn't an icon, but from a design standpoint, the importance of Mario games, and I want to do a whole episode about it later on. I want to really like do a deep dive into it, but like, if you think about it, the original Super Mario Brothers set the groundwork for what all gaming, all 2D gaming would be.
It saved games after that Atari debacle.
Yeah,
where the video game crash.
And then Super Mario 64 really determined how games could exist in a 3D space. It made a lot of it possible. I'm not going to go into detail with it now. I want to do that for a future episode where I really like deep dive and talk about the unique things that each of those games did to. And it's kind of weird because we just did Super Mario Brothers, but I'm specifically I want to do an episode specifically on the mechanics, not just the game as a whole, but the mechanics of the game, and that's what I want to cover. But in any case, Super Mario World, it was the first one that really sparked my love for it, because since then I've been on a Mario, like, if I don't know what to play, I want to try a Mario game I've never played before, because they're that much fun, and this game really made the 2D Mario games fun for me.
If you ever want to learn typing, Mario teaches typing.
Next year's Mario month. Yeah. Teaser for next year Mario's month. I don't know, maybe we'll get some of those obscure
still
PC
installing.
Games.
Still installing.
But but in any case, so I think that really wraps up this episode of Still Loading. So I want to thank all you guys for joining me on this one. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot more interesting than me just talking to myself for like in my room for like 30 minutes trying to find shit to say. It was a lot more fun to kind of bounce off everyone. So I guess before we wrap this all, let's do some plugs. I'll do mine last. Do you guys have anything you want to plug? Tim?
No, I don't. I have
nothing
important.
Social media
I have
that you want to plug?
Nothing going on. I have literally
all
nothing.
Right. Lucas, anything you want to plug? Any social media you want to get out there for people to follow you?
I mean, I'm on Instagram, at the Lukey Baby. It's just me doing bullshit. Nothing really, video games, whatever, but...
How do you spell the Lukey Baby?
The Lukey Baby.
B-A-B-Y.
Yeah.
Alright, because there's a lot of weird... You could have spelled baby, B-A-B-I.
Babby.
Babby. Stuff like that. I mean, you never know,
yeah.
So... All right, John, what about you? Anything you want to plug?
Sure. So every Monday, usually give or take, a couple of friends and I, sometimes Lucas, will get together and stream ourselves playing games on Twitch. It's very low-key. It's not very professional at all, but it gives us an excuse to hang out every week. So if you're interested, we're currently going through XCOM 2 War of the Chosen, the new DLC that came out, and we call ourselves Bearman and Friends. So that's Mondays at about 9 p.m. Eastern Time to 10.
Okay, and is it Bearman, like B-E-A-R-M-A-N?
B-E-A-R-M-A-N and Friends.
All one word.
Yeah.
I know I'm being really particular, listeners, but fine. There's so many weird spellings variation of everything, and I just want to make sure that my lovely guests are you're able to find my lovely guests. So, appreciate Casey, anything you'd like to plug?
Sure, I'll just plug my Instagram, as I did in the other three episodes. It's Kazuya Kane, that's K-A-Z-U-Y-A-K-A-N, as in November, E. Basically, I just post all video game-related material, a lot of Tekken, ton of Super Mario, retro stuff, some new stuff, just things of that nature. So if that's something that interests you guys, come take a look.
Needs more Wario.
Needs more.
Wah! All right. So as usual, guys, you can find me at Still Loading Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm back from my missions trip finally, so I'll be able to do a lot more. I have some more ideas coming down the pipe. And then some shout-outs to some of my favorite podcasts. My original podcasting partner in crime, Erica at the Apex in Erica from the Apex in the Abyss. It's an awesome true crime podcast.
I actually took a listen to that when you first plugged it, and it's actually very good.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's I listen at work.
She's really good. Like, her cadence, man, puts you on edge in a good way. Like, this is no insult to her. Like, the way she reads the stories, I love it.
It's true, and I don't mean to interrupt you, because I do subscribe to some other, like, creepypasta, creepy stories, and I just don't like how they're delivered, but she has a good delivery, so.
So at Apex and Abyss is where you can find her. Oh my god, Tim. Yes, it's DiGiorno. No. At Apex and Abyss, you can just, or Google it, the Apex and the Abyss. My buddies over at Two Guys in a Game and the Hotter Show, they're awesome podcast, though they hate the Labo, and though they've never tried it. But, you know, that's cool, because, you know, they're afraid of cardboard. But
paper cuts, man.
That's I know. That's some. I mean, then you can't play video games if your hands are covered in paper cuts. But, seriously, though, they're Two Guys in Game, one of the funniest podcasts I've listened to. They're really good. Go give them a listen, too. Also, check out No Geeks Allowed. That's K-N-O-W, No Geeks Allowed. They're really good. I know them personally. We were at Too Many Games together for a little bit. Awesome guys. Oh, jeez. Excuse me. It's my voice giving out. Awesome guys. And please go give their show a listen. They're also really funny. And I guess, Drinks with Larry. Bunch of comedians. They're funny as shit. Go give them a listen. They're from Ohio. They're really good. They cover a wide range of topics, comic books, social issues, but they all do it in a funny way. So go give them a listen, and I don't think I'm missing anyone. I hope I didn't miss anyone. I think that wraps it up. So thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time.